We're about to hear a segment from the Mark Steiner Show archives. It's a segment from our series, Just Words. Please enjoy. How do you rise above the pain in one of Baltimore's most violent and crime-ridden neighborhoods? How do you walk through those streets every day and not succumb to the corner life? What does it take? Government programs? An inspirational after-school program like Nargis Hyman's Be Spirit? More devoted school teachers? Or does the street sometimes demand a greater sacrifice? This is Sierra's story.
It's some females nowadays do hustle, but I never hustled because when I was 9 years old, it was a Sunday, it was April the 6th, 1997. Everybody was gone, my sister was outside, my brother was outside. And they got old enough, they ain't had to go to church no more. But since I couldn't make no decision, I couldn't really say nothing, so I still had to go to church. And that Sunday evening, it was like, I say about 6 o'clock, I came home, and my grandmother, us people move fast in my grandma. So I took a pocketbook and I was going to the house. And my mother was an ivory drug abuser. And, you know, I thought she was just asleep or something. She just fell asleep on the floor instead of the chair. So I walked over. So then I thought about it when I put my grandma's pocketbook down. Like, hold up. She not moving. She not doing nothing. So I walked past. I was so scared. I walked back over her and went to the door like, Grandma, Grandma, my mother not moving. My mother not moving. She like, what did you talk about? I said, Grandma, it's not like one of her normal days. She's really not moving. She was like, all right, check her pulse. You feel anything? So I'm like, no, I'm not feeling nothing. I'm not feeling nothing. And I found my mother dead of an overdose. That's it. 9 years old. So terrified. I was going through it. That's what made me not ever sell drugs, because I feel as though people are selling drugs just like whoever sold the drugs to her. That's why she died. So me selling drugs is like killing somebody's grandparents, mother, son, daughter. You killing people, family members. That's why I would never ever hustle, because you just making somebody else's life one day shorter. I got like one or two friends' mothers died off of drugs. And some of their parents still on drugs. So it's just hard just seeing what they're going through. And like, just like my mother died one day, like how they got to go through, their mother just died. Never be able to see them again.
Sierra is now 20 years old. She's a student at a local trade school and is going to graduate in May. She wants to become a registered nurse just like Nargis Hyman, who runs the youth program Be Spirit, that Sierra is a graduate of and where she now works as a youth mentor. This is the hospital room of Kiana Christian Cannon, a 14-year-old honor roll student at Calverton Middle School.
Kiana was coming home from school. She gets out at 3. She comes in, take her books, put them on the bed or whatever, go back out, and go up to the same school to pick her younger brother up. This particular day, she never made it. She never made it to that school because she was interrupted by gunfire.
That's her mother, Sheila Christian Cannon. Her daughter was caught in the crossfire of a fight between possible gang members. The neighborhood rumor is that a 12-year-old boy pulled the trigger. Kiana's at shock trauma, and she won't be leaving for a while.
According to what the doctors say to us on a daily basis, everything he says is long-term. It's going to be months.
The bullet ripped through Kiana's abdomen, damaging her liver, bowels, and kidneys. Doctors had to remove her gallbladder. Her pancreas is leaking. She's in constant pain, physical and emotional.
I don't feel too good because I can't see all my friends and finish school like I wanted to.
The entire family is feeling the trauma of what happened to Kiana, and they worry over what happens next.
I mean, it does wear you out to stay in this hospital night and day. not knowing what her condition gonna be. My daughter often tells me how afraid she is. She told us the second day that she could talk, that she never wants to go back there. Now, what am I to do as a mother? You know, to get her from the neighborhood. I can't just literally take her up and move her. You know what I mean? What am I supposed to do with my child? And making things impossible. That's what parents are supposed to do. We're supposed to make things possible for our children. So now I'm caught up in a position where I can't do that.
Kiana's father was granted an emergency 2-week leave from his job, but will soon have to return. Her mother has placed her home business on hold. With a long hospital stay certain, money is beginning to become a problem. There are other children in the family, two of them younger than Kiana, and they need to be cared for as well. This whole family has stepped into a nightmare. And for what? Battles over gang turf? Because a 12-year-old boy thought so little of life that he could do something like this? Whatever the reason, the guns were on the street.
The bullets don't have any names on them. Guns just in the air, it shouldn't be. Anybody could be outside. Anything. Anybody. Older person. Younger person. Middle-aged person. Anybody. So where are we? Caught in catch-22 again. My child injured. Their child may go away, may not go away. I tell you, circumstances of the day.
What you're hearing are the sounds of students and their families arriving at Calverton Middle School for 8th grade graduation. There were many mothers in the crowd, but one of those women was especially happy to be there.
How do I feel? Elated. Overwhelmed. How do you feel, Jerome, about Kiana graduating?
Fine.
That's all?
Here, Mom.
That's Sheila Christian Cannon. She's as proud as a mother of an honor student would be at this moment. But there's more than the happiness of a child done well here. There's a relief and joy at seeing a daughter who less than 2 months ago was fighting for her life at shock trauma, now walking across the stage. Her daughter, Kiana, was caught in a crossfire, shot in the abdomen while walking in her West Baltimore neighborhood. The past 2 months haven't been easy for Sheila, Kiana, or her father, Bobby.
It's been a task, you know, dealing with what has happened to Kiana, and to know that it's still, you know, not even at the halfway mark, because they say they don't know how long it's going to take before she can be, like, almost halfway normal. I mean, she can't hardly sleep at night. She still wasn't able to eat anything yet. And it's just been a task, you know, to deal with this.
Sheila's feeling the stress of the situation as well.
I stay frustrated a lot because I don't just have Kiana. I have other little ones, 10-year-old, 5-year-old. You know what I mean? Then my other kids just calling me around the clock because I'm a family-oriented mother. It's frustrating, very frustrating. My home business is still on hold and my husband is still not working. Main thing we're trying to do is relocate with some help. Where we want to go, we would like to really go to Baltimore County, but we can't afford it because the homes there are outrageous. What I've looked at in accordance to what I would like to have, the closest place and the most inexpensive place is near York or Dallastown, Pennsylvania. So it'll be totally different for me and my family because we would be nowhere near where we grew up. My family's not there, so it would be totally different for us. I would not have nobody to run to in the middle of the night, so it'll be totally different. But in reference to what we were looking for, that's the closest place I know that we can go to. Like I said, the homes are running $300,000 and $400,000, and it's no way. I can't do that.
Kiana and her family will have to move an hour away to be able to find a home large enough for all the kids, the parents, and grandparents in a neighborhood that's safe with a decent school that they can afford. And Baltimore will lose another law-abiding, loving family, the kind of people the city needs to keep any hope of turning the tide of violence and failure around. The series we're about to hear in Just Words with Lucille Robinson. The series caused a great effect in Baltimore. When the people heard this series, they came out, outpouring came out to help her with money and food to keep her and her babies alive. She passed away not long after Just Words was on the air. She was an incredible woman. I think about her every day. Lucille Robinson.
Dope. My daughter is on dope. And do you know I didn't know what they'd look for? I didn't know how a person looked when they're on dope. The worker told me what she looked like. The little boy, he fell out the window. They were living in South Baltimore. The worker called me, asked me what I'd take him. I took him.
Lucille Robinson is a grandmother. Like thousands of other grandparents around the state and in Baltimore City, she's raising her grandchildren because of death, divorce, drug addiction, or incarceration. For a time, she had foster parent status and lost it because of a leaky roof in a home she did not even own. Her check was cut off.
I was married in Columbia, nice home. I was married. I depended on him to take care of us, and he didn't do it. We came to Baltimore City. Like I said, had a fire, and marriage broke up. They always say a woman that without a mate is financially poor, and I became poor real quick. But then there is a foster grandparent grant. As taking my grandchildren, it took months before I received anything. And when the house I lived over on Chelsea Terrace, they needed the roof fixed. They cut the money off. When they cut that money off, I went downhill like somebody pushed me on a sled. I had to go through this thing of going through the welfare. We had a fire. The kids, we had no blankets. We had no sheets. And believe me, the welfare do not help you with these things. Over there, when I finally got back up on my feet again, they took them and snatched the money. Nobody could never told me in Columbia that I would be at the state that I am right now. I'm sorry. But when I think about how I done come down at my age, nobody could never told me that at my age, I'd be without a mate, financially broke. I keep saying that it's just not me alone. When you go down welfare, you see a lot of young people, but when I see old people coming in my age, I say, my God, look at us down here begging for help. Baltimore City has no pity on grandparents. You hear me? I think almost to the point when I was lost the house over there, I said to myself, Lord, I didn't call a shelter because I felt like I was to the point of going into a shelter because I didn't know what else to do. I had been to every place and no place could I afford. Getting $700 a month, you can't rent no place. So here I am finally. Everything I make now goes basically right in this place. I send $725 a month away. That's my whole Social Security. It's gone. So, but we're surviving. We really are. We really survived. Don't ask me how. I just don't know. God, I wish I stopped crying. But I don't know how we're making it. I just know that my children and my grandchildren and all of us are surviving this thing. And we're going to beat it. Can you imagine what Christmas is going to be like? We always had a good one. I don't know what's going to be like. I don't know what this father going to help. I told you, I just cried one day upstairs and I couldn't stop trying to figure out what was going to happen. I don't know. I really don't know. And it's frightening because them children are going to want something.
Last week, Lucille Robinson told the story of how she came to be the sole caregiver for her six grandchildren and why she's given little assistance from the state. This week, she tells how she supports her family on $700 a month and her worries for the holiday season.
Nobody figures that nobody can live off of $700 a month with maybe five, six children in the house. And they will never know. No, we don't eat pork chops and stuff like that all the time. No. But we eat. my grandchildren never want to be hungry. $700 a month. You hear me? That's no, and I was almost ashamed to say it one time. I said, why are you ashamed that you're living off of it? It's honest. I didn't steal it or nothing. And I just so happen I have a little Social Security comes in. I can pay my rent. My lights is on. My house is warm. And nobody is hungry. I got a bowl of soup in my refrigerator. And I'm trying to figure out how can I give it to somebody that can keep them warm. Keith is always, he writing his little list. You ought to see his little list. I said, Keith, don't write no list because Nanny right now don't can't afford that list. He went on anyway. He went down and he wants a pair of tennis shoes, some kind of name brand tennis shoes, some kind of little games. I'm afraid Nanny can't help. The reason right now my money's gone. Like I said, my rent has to be out by the 3rd. That was Sunday. So that's it. One thing, when I had the car, when I was going to move here, I ran everywhere I could to try to get help with my electricity. I went places to try to get help with the rent. I haven't got it. So that's why all the money I make goes right towards my rent. But when they hear the man, anybody listen at this and says, I don't believe it, don't come by here. This came from a Goodwill set. Same set that came from a Goodwill set. It's good enough for these kids. Then one day you never know, like you say. One day the kids grow up, if I'm still around, and I would say, Nanny, come stay with me. Their home might be much better than Nana's. That's all I want to see my grandchildren grow up and have something for themselves.
Last week, Lucille Robinson told us how she manages to support her family on $700 a month. Today, we conclude her story as a witness to the world in which she's raising her grandchildren and hear the small change in policy that could lighten her burden.
I didn't want to move here. I wanted to move in a place where woods and trees and things. And when I moved here, I hated this place. I really was upset because I had to come here. Only one or two things, either deaf or dope. And so I find that the grandparents here in Baltimore City taking the children, the daughter or son. I think that's basic is dope in Baltimore City. Is that it? And I have a grandson that's out here with it. The state need to make sure that these kids have, to go to school, they say feed them. So in schools, they feed them breakfast so that children can be alert. The same thing applies with the things that children need. Do you know there wouldn't be as many children on the street if parents could afford to buy them some of the things that they want? And it's easy. Dope deal to see them. Spot them. Just like that. Before you know it, your grandson is slipping and sliding. Don't want this. Don't want to do that. Why? Because somebody at school that he saw has a little bit more than he did. And he want it. So he figured if he stay out, hang on the street, he'll get it. And we don't want that. I'm not trying to put my grandchildren on nobody. I'm down here to try to make sure that they have their food stamps, they get a little bit of money, and make sure they get some kind of insurance. Why should you push a button on me and cut my welfare stamps off? That means for the last 2 or 3 months, these kids don't have no food stamps. I have to make a way for them to eat. They are not caring. Not everybody needs help. But the ones that need help, when we go ask for it, you know, we're not asking you to take and empty your pocketbooks out to us because we have our grandchildren. But make it so that they can live. Like it's Christmas, I can go buy that boy a pair of tennis shoes. Well, how much is a pair of tennis shoes? About $125? That's a lot of money. I should be able to do that, but I can't. The welfare, if they give them, that's $125 they gave him for the whole month to live on. They have laws and things in D.C. where they can say, okay, now this lady is a grandmother. Let's make sure that these relatives are living in a decent place. the people down in D.C. to think, say, well, this is grandparent. We're going to pass a law. There's X amount of dollars. I went to a meeting. They said they were going to raise the money for the grandparents or the relatives. If they raised it, they must have put cap it because I didn't see it. This is a meeting. I go to every meeting in Baltimore City. They send me a letter trying to find out how they're going to help us. And I think they should recognize us. This. Don't try. You don't have to give me no awards. Just make sure that my grandchildren won't be on the corner because they can't afford those little $125 pair of shoes.
The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Stephanie Mavronis and Mark Gunnery. Our engineer is Andre Melton. Our interns are Sienna Greaves, Monifa Wilson, Calvin Perry, and Morgan Barber. Our theme music is by Walt Matthews of Clean Cuts. Send me your thoughts about today's program to talk@steinershow.org. And to podcast The Mark Steiner Show, share it with your friends, visit us on the web at steinershow.org, or listen to us via your favorite podcasting app. And for your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA, 88.9 FM, the voice of the community, I'm Mark Steiner. Take care.